Hi, this is Linda Rax with Our Life in the Trinity. It's good to be with you again today. And our message today will be out of Ephesians 5, 8 to 14. We're going to begin with a word of prayer. We'll talk about our message for today, read some scripture, have communion together, and then end with a benediction. So it gives you an idea what direction we're going here. So let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you that we can be here together today, just sitting at your feet, listening to Jesus as he teaches us, and being moved and inspired and taught by your Holy Spirit. So we welcome you today to do whatever you desire to do. Let it only be what you would have happen. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it was a little while ago, we had this windstorm blow through and the power went out for several hours. And it got on toward nighttime and it was getting pretty dark in the house. So I pulled out all the old candles and lit them. And it's amazing what a little bit of candlelight will do in the darkness, in a dark room. It kind of brightens it up. It's amazing how dependent we get upon power nowadays, you know. But I think we forget sometimes that even our spiritual life, our life in Christ, without power, without the light of Jesus Christ, we really struggle and we wander about in the darkness. You know, when I began to record this sermon, it's really kind of funny because I clicked on the go, you know, on the recording, and it kept saying it would be good if you plugged your computer in, if you had power. You don't have power. And I was thinking to myself, it's all plugged in. What's the issue? And what I finally figured out was the power cord had come just slightly undone enough that it wasn't putting power into the computer. So sometimes we need to reflect on, you know, how are we doing in our relationship with God in Christ? Are we staying connected with the source of our life? And that is the light of this world. This is the season where we're looking toward Jesus' death and resurrection, and we're seeing our need for Christ and our need to walk in the light that Christ is for us in this world. The gospel message for this Sunday would be John 9, 1 to 41, and it talks about the blind beggar. Blind beggar sitting in the temple. This man, well known by his people in his village, and in Jerusalem, obviously. So he's sitting there and he's every day asking people to support him because he can't support himself. Jesus comes and he spits on the ground, mixes his DNA with, so to speak, the dirt, and puts clay on this man's eyes. And I think you need to pay attention to this because we're going to learn about a little bit about who Jesus is through this whole process. We're reminded that in the garden, God made man out of clay, right? But here God in Christ, as God in human flesh, mixes his spit with the dirt of the earth, puts it on this man's eyes. And then he says to him, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Now, the pool of Siloam, that word meaning sent, it's kind of interesting that Jesus sent this man there. And this pool is where Jesus stood up on the last great day of the fall festival and said, drink. I am the fountain of living water. Drink of me. So anyway, he goes and he gets washed. And so he's walking back, and all of a sudden, people are realizing that this man who could never see from the time he was born, he never has seen his entire life. He's seeing everything and everyone. People are shocked. They're astonished. Are you really this man that was the one who laid there for years after years, unable to see? And he's saying, I am. He was coming into a new I amness, so to speak, in Christ the I am. He was realizing, I can see now. This is amazing. Now, the people were so astonished by this miracle that they brought this man to the Pharisees. And it's really sad, but it's also interesting that they were more concerned about the fact that Jesus did this miracle on the Sabbath than they were that this man could finally see. I mean, instead of being joyful about his healing, they were mad that Jesus had healed this man on the Sabbath. What's wrong with this? But this man, he saw what really mattered. He saw who Jesus was. When he returned to Jesus and he talked to him about who he was as the Son of Man, the Son of God, he knelt down and he worshiped him. He knew he was the Messiah. He knew that only he could have healed him. And he honored him for that. Whereas the Pharisees were so busy getting mad and angry that they, missed the point of it all, so to speak. So our New Testament reading for today is Ephesians 5, 8 to 14. This is how it goes. I'm reading for the New American Standard Bible. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So if we look at what Paul is saying, he is saying, we are light in the Lord. How are we light in the Lord? Because of the light of the world, because of Jesus Christ, who is the light. He offers us his light to walk in. He is the one who, in the beginning, before there was anything at all, spoke and it all existed. And then he separated the light from the darkness. And then he moved us from that place of beginning all through our life, living in his presence as the light of the world. I mean, he's the true light. And he has given us his light by coming as God, the maker, sustainer of all things, becoming God in human flesh to live our life and die our death and rise again. Sending the Spirit, giving us his light, as he, the light of the world, comes and lives within us by the Holy Spirit. With all that being true, what Paul is saying, with all that being true, we're to walk as children of light, live in the truth of who we are, as those made in the image of this God who made all things and sustains all things and loves. Because that's who he is. That's his nature, his Father, Son, and Spirit, his other-centered, self-giving love. Because that's who he is. He has given us that light in Christ by the Spirit. So walk in that way. That's the truth of who we are. There is a difference, whether we like it or not, between walking in darkness and walking in light. John likes to talk, the Apostle John likes to talk about in his epistle the difference between walking in darkness and walking in light. And it has to do with relationship. It has to do with other-centered love. It has to do with walking and living with others in the same way that the Father, Son, and Spirit live in this interpenetrating oneness and communion. And yet they're each uniquely themselves, three persons in one being. This is the way we're created to live and love with one another. And so walk in that way is what Paul says. Walk in that way. You know, there in this story of the man who was blind from birth being healed and then being rejected by the religious leaders at that time, but being welcomed and accepted by Jesus Christ. We see the deeds of darkness as unbelief, dishonesty, murderous rage, arrogance, pride. These are all deeds of darkness. They arise out of the darkness in our sinful flesh. What Jesus eradicated in his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. What we want to do is turn away from all that that seems to come naturally to us and turn to Christ, to be filled with his light, his way of living and being. We want to participate with what Jesus is doing in this world, his very life, which is full of humility, turning back to God, a faith in what, trust in what God will do and caring for us and loving us, participating in his goodness, his right relationship. We want to allow the light of God, Jesus Christ, to live in us and shine through us by the Holy Spirit. That's why he gives us the Spirit. It all begins with Jesus Christ, the light of the world, God in human flesh, who comes to live our life, die our death, and rise again, and sends the Spirit, giving us fellowship with God in Christ. We have this wonderful gift that we're given to participate in. And we want to always live and participate in what God is doing in this world. What God is doing in this world gives life. And we're talking the kind of eternal life, Zoe life, that is life in community, spiritual community, in union, in oneness. We don't want to participate any longer in what the evil one is doing in this world, those things that lead to death, division, disharmony, disunity, a disruption of all that is one and holy and good. So this time of year is good to think about, where are my steps taking me? Where are your steps taking you? Where and how are you walking? How am I walking? Are we walking in darkness? Are we walking in light? The good news is the light of God shines on us, in us, and through us because of Jesus Christ. Bathed in that light by the Holy Spirit, we want to turn back to God. We want to walk in that light, to walk in the ways that bring harmony and unity and love and grace and healing and wholeness. And we're able to do that because of Jesus. And that brings us to our communion today, to the table, because here at the table, we're reminded again as we take the bread and the wine or grape juice, as we take these elements, we're reminded of what Christ has done and our participation in that. I like to affirm the essentials of our faith. We died with Christ. we rose with Christ. We share in his glory both now and forever by his Spirit. We are given oneness with God, and we're renewed in that as we take these things. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your faithful love and goodness expressed to us in your Son and your Spirit. Grant us the grace to receive this and to walk in your light now and forever. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. Breaking it, he says, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So we take this symbol of Christ's body. Thank you, Jesus. He also took the cup of the covenant and said, "Take, drink. This is my blood shed for you." He poured out his blood for us, his life. And we take this symbolic of all that he's poured out for us, receiving that. Thank you, Jesus. So now, as Christ awakens you and shines on you, may you shine with all his goodness, righteousness, and truth. In the name of our Father, Son, and Spirit, may God bless you, keep you this week. You're welcome to visit lifeinthetrinity.blog, learn a little bit more about living and walking in Christ. You might want to check out the Trinity Life in the Trinity Studies page at lifeinthetrinitystudies.wordpress.com. And we'll have there every week new questions that you can use for your own personal study to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I've also added something called Spirit of Unity by Lloyd Brigge, who is an elder up in GCI, elder up in Lafayette, Tennessee. So you'll want to check that out. May God bless you and keep you. God bless.